We hope our weekly broadcasts bring you comfort as you hear the Word of God. And with our expanded website at cwh.org, our YouTube channel, and our podcasts, you can find more resources that help minister to you. Let's join my dad for his sermon titled, Where Are the Dead?
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're just so happy to be able to come into your home. Just thank you for opening your doors and turning on your TVs and letting us come in. And we thank all of those on shortwave radio. We don't need to worry about opening doors. We can just come right through the doors or the windows or anything if you're on shortwave radio. But either way, we just thank you for letting us come into your home and into your life. And today we're going to have a subject that many people ask about. Where are the dead? When people die, what happens to them? And so we're going to deal with that, and we're going to deal with it from the Bible. We're not going to give any ideas, you know, people that died and came back to life and all that. It's just out of the Bible. That's all that counts. But before that, we want to read some of the letters, and we just want to thank you all for writing to us. We read every letter we get, and when we get the close of the program, we'll have our address, or you can get it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. But we'll have the address, and we hope to hear from you that you'll write to us and maybe help us in the work. Our first letter is from Manchester, Maryland. And this person writes, just wanted to say, keep up the good work for many years to come. Just keep on that book, the Word. That's the only thing that can save the country. I got a lot of fish in the new net now after much pain, so we need you now to bring them on home. Keep up the passion. Well, that's an interesting letter, and I'm glad he's got some of the fish. He's caught some of the fish, but it's not up to me to bring them home. Jesus is going to do that, and we're going to help him on the way, and we're going to encourage him on the way and all of that, but when these people accept Jesus, Jesus takes them, and he puts them in his hand, and he holds them. He tells us in John chapter 10, he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never perish. So there's your eternal security. They shall never perish. And then he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So what we do is we don't hold on to Jesus. Jesus holds on to us. He holds us in his hand. And then Jesus goes on and says, the Heavenly Father holds Jesus' hand. And so it's double. And if you're going to get out of that, it's impossible to be lost if you've accepted Jesus. So we're on the way. We'll help you on the way. But the ultimate rests in the Lord Jesus. Here's Laporte, Texas. Thank you for the new song, a new song. It's encouraging because we do feel cast down many days and forget that Jesus has said he will not leave us or forsake us. So beautiful. Thank you, and thank you, Christian Worship Hour. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Christian Worship Hour. And when they write about the new song, it's a little Bible study we put out every month. This month of September, our Bible study is on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you just write to us, and you can get the address at the end of the service, and you write to us, and we'll put you on the list, and it's free and postpaid. And we really ought to charge because it's such a wonderful little paper, but we are so good-hearted, send it free of charge. How can you beat that? Let's see, Melbourne, Australia. Pastor's manner with which he preaches the gospel is one I took immense inspiration from, with blessings from Melbourne, Australia. And I'll tell you why she gets a lot of help out of my messages is because it's the Bible. We just fill it with the Bible, with the scripture. That's where the power is. I don't have any authority, and I don't have any power. A parrot could do what I'm doing. But it's the Word of God, the wonderful Word of God that abideth forever, and heaven and earth will pass away, but not my Word. And that's where it is. We preach the Word, and the Holy Spirit takes it up and spreads it all over the world. Here in this case, Melbourne, Australia. One more letter, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I prayed to give all my sins to Jesus. I'd love to get the starter packet. Please help me stay with Jesus. Thank you. And so we have a little packet that we send out, and I'll tell you where we get it. It's the same packet that Billy Graham gives out at his crusades, and it's just excellent, and it'll help you get started in the Christian life. So if you've accepted Jesus and you want this little study, you write to us. Here it is again, free and postpaid. And so just write. Or maybe you've drifted away from the Lord and you've come back and now you want to study more and stay close to Jesus. You maybe want the packet. We'll send it. You write to us, and it's at the Christian Worship Hour, and we'll give you that in a few minutes. But right now, we want to look at the question, where are the dead? And in this message, we use this, a lot of the scripture. I'm going to quote a lot of scripture. And so if you don't get it all down, you can get this on a CD or a DVD, and we send them out on a free will offering basis. And so you can write in and get this information if you want it for a further study. But we want to look at this subject, where are the dead? And we're going to look at it in three ways. When we die, we're going to look at it from three different angles. First of all, where do the dead go in the Old Testament? And the second is, where do the dead go before the cross of Calvary, before Jesus died? And the third is, in the New Testament, where do the dead go after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after the cross? So now we're in the Old Testament, then we read that all of the people that died, the good and the bad, the upright and the downright wicked, they all go to one place called Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. And it's a Hebrew word, and it indicates a place for the dead. The word Sheol appears 65 times in the King James Version of the Bible. But this word is the same word, Sheol, but it's translated different ways. For instance, 31 times it's translated hell, and 31 times it's translated grave, and 3 times it's translated pit. But it is always the same Hebrew word, Sheol. It's just used in 3 different ways. And so that with the believer or the unbeliever, the righteous or the unrighteous, all the dead went to Sheol in the Old Testament, and all of them were conscious. And furthermore, Sheol was always thought of being as down under, somewhere in the hollow of the earth. For instance, Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 26 and verse 20, down they die, and they go down with those who go down to the pit, Sheol, to the people of old, and I shall make you dwell in the lower parts of the earth like the ancient waste places with those who go down to the pit or into Sheol. The Old Testament taught us that Sheol then is in the region, lower regions of the earth, and that the good and the evil went there, the righteous and the unrighteous all went there. For instance, Jacob, who a godly man, went to Sheol. An ungodly man named Korah went to Sheol. They went to the same place. And so to sum this up, let's put it this way. Everyone who died, good or bad, rich or poor, made no difference. They all went to a place called Sheol. Sheol then is in the lower parts of the earth, in the center of the earth maybe. Sheol was a place of consciousness. It was a place of torment, and it was a place of bliss. For instance, we read in Deuteronomy 32:22, for a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest part of Sheol. Or else you can read from David when he says, receive me to glory. And he's talking about going to this place, Sheol. So when we are looking then, we want to look at how it is used in the New Testament before the cross. How is death spoken of before the cross of Calvary? In the Old Testament, God just gives a few intimations of what happens after death. But in the New Testament, God gives us a lot. He tells us a lot about what happens after death. When we come to the New Testament, God seems like he throws open the curtains and shows us so much that he never showed in the Old Testament, never revealed in the Old Testament. God gives us a picture of Sheol. Only in the New Testament, it is called Hades. It isn't called Sheol, it's called Hades. And that's because the New Testament was written in Greek. And so the Hebrew, when they wrote it in Hebrew, it was called Sheol. When they wrote it in Greek, it is translated Hades. It is the same place. Thus, in the Old Testament, is Sheol. In the New Testament Greek, it's Hades. And so then this has reference to a place. It says very emphatically, whether we call it Sheol or Hades, it never refers to the grave. Never refers to the grave. I emphasize that because we have some people running around the countryside telling us that Sheol and at the grave is the place where the departed dead go. But every word you read of Sheol or Hades, it does not refer to the grave. It gives a place of the departed spiritual souls of the righteous and the unrighteous, and it is in the earth, in the heart of the earth. And there's an illustration of that given in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. I just want to read a few of them. And this is the rich man and Abraham, the rich man and Lazarus. And so we read, it came to pass that the beggar died, carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. In hell, or Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham says it's impossible because there's a gulf between the two. So here you have the righteous and the unrighteous, and they're in the center of the earth, this place called Hades or hell, or sometimes it's called the pit, all those different names, but it's one and the same place. In this story, Jesus shows us exactly and precisely what will happen the very split second when we die. It happens in one breath. The rich man died was in Hades. It's a section of terrible torment. The beggar died in a place, all to the same place called Hades, but it was a place of bliss. And so this Hades in the center of the earth is divided into two parts, a place of torment and a place of bliss, and there's a great gulf between the two. And so we look at this and see that we have never these men never lost consciousness. Lazarus and the rich man, they were died and they were in this place of Hades, but they never lost consciousness. We do not lose consciousness when we die. One split second after we die, we will be conscious of the moment before. Look at these two men in Luke chapter 16. They were both conscious after death. One had pain and one had bliss. Both remembered their former life. And mind you, that was immediately after they died. Look at the rich man. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I feel in agony in this flame. But the point is, he was conscious, totally conscious. The rich man knew where he was, and he recognized both Abraham and Lazarus. And I want to stop for just a minute and say there, don't ever get mixed up here. He wasn't in the place of torment because he was rich. And Lazarus wasn't in a place of bliss because he was poor. That doesn't have a thing to do with it. It's whether you believe in Jesus Christ, whether you believe in God and the Lord Jesus Christ, because he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abideth on him. So it exactly has to do with their belief system. And so they're conscious immediately after death. And one split second after death, they knew exactly what was happening. And so look at this. This rich man dies. And it says that, and when Lazarus died, they just said that the rich man, he had a sumptuous funeral, but the Lazarus is probably thrown out on a dump or somewhere, cast off. He had nothing and he had no funeral. And so they're getting ready for the funeral for this man. They haven't even had the funeral yet. And this man is talking in heaven, and he is conscious of the afterlife. And he knows that while they're preparing for his funeral, he's praying to God that his brothers won't come to this place. And then when you look at this, you'll also find out that once we enter into that afterlife, there will not be any change. There's no back door in Hades. And because here it tells us, between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed. in order those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and those who wish cross over from there to us. It is impossible. There's no second chance after death. There's no turning back. There's no repenting. Everything is forever fixed. It is in heaven or it is in hell, one of the two. And I'm going to tell you something. You decide where you're going to be. Nobody decides it for you or tells you that you have to do this or that. You decide for yourself. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm accepting Jesus Christ and putting my faith in him, and I'm asking him to come into my heart and take away sins, and you have eternal life and eternal bliss. But the same man hears the same message, and he says, I'm good enough. I got enough good works. I don't need anybody to help me, and I'll go on my own way and do my own thing, a stubborn thing, see? And he's choosing hell. And you say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be neutral. I'm going to be independent. But what did Jesus say? He says, whosoever is not for me is against me. So if you don't accept Jesus Christ and receive him as your personal Savior, you're against him, and you're on the losing side, and you're going to be in that place of torment. And then also when he talks to Abraham, and he asks him to dip his finger in a piece of water, to touch his tongue. And Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things and so on. And the point is, Abraham is saying to the rich man, remember. And I think that will be one of the most terrible things in hell, because the people there were going to remember. They're going to remember the chance they could have to come to Jesus. They're going to remember that pastor who begged them, and then they remember the Christian worship hour. And we're asking you to put your faith in Jesus Christ and confess him before men. And many are doing that. Multitudes are doing that, but multitudes are turning away. Every time I preach, I know this. You're putting on them by you're putting the balls in your court, and you're either going to be for or against, and there's no middle ground and no hiding place. So you need to come to Jesus and receive Jesus. So let's look at this Hades before the cross. We're told that before the cross, everyone is in this one place. It's a place of bliss and a place of torment, and there is no second chance after that. But the third point is, where do the dead go in the New Testament? After the cross. And it is something miraculous and earth-shaking. And so really listen to me. There are two compartments in Sheol. There one compartment of Hades is a place of torment, and one is a place of bliss. Now look what happens, because both of these compartments of Hades are going to be taken from the heart of the earth to another place, the righteous and the unrighteous. And so first of all, look at what's going to happen to the righteous, the trust, those who are in a place called paradise, trusting in Jesus. Paradise is in the heart of the earth. Jesus said there he would be there 3 days and three nights when he was crucified. He said, after that, I'm going to be 3 days and three nights. Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So Jesus' soul descended into Sheol, into the place of bliss, and he was there 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now both the righteous and the wicked went to that place in the heart of the earth. But look at the experience of St. Paul. Listen to what he had. He writes in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 and 4. He says, I was caught up to the third heaven. And then he says in verse 4, I was caught up into paradise. So you have paradise not in the heart of the earth, but in the third heaven at the throne of God. Read it for yourself, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 and 4. How did that happen? What happened? And I'll tell you what happened. It simply means that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he took all of those righteous people in the Hades, in the heart of the earth, and he took them with him up into heaven, and he took them to the throne of God. Why did he do it at that time? Why didn't he do that earlier? Why didn't he do it from day one? And I'm going to tell you exactly why that they never went into the third heaven until Jesus died. Because they had sins. And all of their sins were covered with the blood of bulls and goats. And every year they covered their sins with the blood of bulls and goats, but it never washed them away. And they couldn't go into heaven, the third heaven, into paradise with God on the throne, because those sins were still there. They were only covered like a note that's due, and you pay them every you pay it, bring it up every year, and you keep that covered. You keep that covered. But when Jesus died, he shed his blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And is the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed every soul in the world? They're in the Old Testament that trusted in God. It took their all that covered their sins, and all of those in the present tense, and all of those in the future. Why, all of my sins were yet in the future when he died. And so he paid for all of the sins of the world. And it all hinges on the cross of Jesus Christ, that when he died and he paid for our sins, so when we die, we go presently, immediately into the presence of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, we read about absent from the body, at home with the Lord in heaven. Now, there's a scripture that talks about this, taking out all of those people out of Hades and out of the place of bliss and taking them into heaven. Mark this down, Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. I'll read it to you. When he, Christ, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Then it says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven and heavens, and he might fulfill all things. And it's so simply telling us, when Jesus was on that cross 3 days and three nights, he descended to the lower parts of the earth, the hollow in the center of the earth. And that third day he ascended up, and he came up out of that place, and he went to the throne of God, and that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ took all of those righteous people, Lazarus and those people, and took them to be with him in heaven. And that's why when we die, the moment we die, we're with the Lord. But what about the Hades? What about the place of torment? They're still in the heart of the earth. And what's going to happen to them? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to them. First of all, St. John tells us about Satan's fate, what's going to happen to him. Revelation 20, verse 10. And St. John says, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever. And then the apostle goes on. And he says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And then he goes on and he says, and read it and tremble. Revelation 20, 14 and 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's exactly what's going to happen to you, dear friends. The people that are in that place of torment in the heart of the earth will be taken out, and they'll stand before the judgment of the great white throne. And John says that it's such a terrible thing that heaven and earth fled, and there was nothing but a great white throne and those standing before it and hearing the judgment of God. That's why we preach our hearts out and our heads off, because we're begging you to put your faith in Jesus Christ, because you're going to end in that same place with the devil in the lake of fire. Well, you say, yes, I want Jesus. How do I get Jesus? And what you simply do is you just say, dear Jesus, I was 10 years old when I did that. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can. That is, you're going to turn from your evil ways. And I'll walk with you and trust you. And you make that prayer, and he says, I'll come into your heart I'm knocking at the door right now. There's something telling you to make that prayer. You make that prayer. And if you do, you write to us. And you write to us, and here's the address. If you want the new song and all the rest of it, Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get it on the website, christianworshiphour.com. And you write to us, and we'll write to you. And those of you who believe in this ministry and you think it's something we ought to have and you believe that we're preaching the Word of God, you just ask God, should I help them? And then God will tell you yes or no. And then you say, how much? And he'll tell you. And you send that gift into the Christian Worship Hour. I'm giving it again for those on shortwave. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And we'll take that and we'll use it to carry on the gospel. I want to tell you this also. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and you can count on it being used exactly for what we say. Now I want to pray. I want to pray for those. Dear Lord, we just pray for those who just accepted you. We pray that you'll bless and strengthen them and help them as they start the Christian life. We pray, Lord, for those in Indonesia, the persecuted church. There's some of them dying for you right now, and we pray, oh God, to give them strength. I know that you will. We pray for the young people making great decisions in life, and we pray for the shut-ins, and we pray for those who can't get around, and we're praying for the lonely and the, oh God, you're able to do all things, and may they turn to you and find rest and peace. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're going to be looking for your letters. We have to have your help if we carry on. And if we don't get enough, we'll just close up and go fishing. Because if God isn't in it, we sure don't want to waste our time with it. But if God provides, we'll carry on till God takes us home. Or maybe he'll come back again. So you just pray and give and stand by. Tell your friends about the Christian Worship Hour and make an effort just to trust Jesus and count on him. You pray for us as we reach out to new stations and new areas and pray that people would come to Jesus. They're going to be with God or they're going to be with the devil, and we want them to be with God. And it's just simply call in the name of the Lord and be saved. So God bless you. Next week, we're going to talk about heaven. And I love to preach about heaven, so tell your friends. We're going to look about that next week. So God bless you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. Every one of us. God bless you all.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.